You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, September 15th, 2023, and you're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Whatever's brought you here, I'm glad you're closing your week out with us here at Radio Albion by tuning in to today's show. I do always like to remind everybody we have our Sven Longshanks support links here on the Daily Nationalist shows down at the bottom. You can check all that out. And for those of you who've been catching, I had a Letters from Longshanks installment of the Parish of the Patriot show this past Tuesday. And I have, and I've pointed it out already a couple times, probably the last time I remind everybody, but I did do a slight correction to Sven's mailing address by adding Wales in there. So be sure and check out the latest for addressing your snail mail to him. And as I said at the time, as far as my understanding, he hasn't had any problems getting his mail, but this may help streamline his snail mail getting through. In fact, when I get done recording the show, I plan to sit down and write an email to Sven. We want to be sure that he's not forgotten. Dr. Johnson pointed out, and I pointed out as well, my understanding is right now he's on like 23-hour lockdown, which is not a punishment. They're just short of staff. Everybody is. So it's not just like him. He's not being punished for something, or they're not singling him out. Still, that's a tough thing. It is a tough thing. That kind of isolation is a tough thing. A lot of times when police officers or somebody like that get convicted and they go to prison, they'll ask for administrative segregation to keep them safe from the general population. Now I'm talking about here in the U.S. And they'll put them in and into administrative segregation, aka the hole. And this, which is basically 23-hour lockdown and isolation. And usually within 2 weeks, those people are like, just put me out in the population. I'd rather be shanked than to be isolated like that. It is a very tough thing. Now, I don't know that it's that level of isolation. I think they can probably talk across to one another. I don't know. But anyway, the point here is we want to be sure that he has as much contact with the outside world as possible. Now, as always, I try to uphold Sven's view for the Friday Daily Nationalist to be as lighthearted as possible, kind of start end the week off, rather, with a fairly lighthearted note. And I'm going to do my best to do that today, but I've got to be upfront and honest with y'all. I've been sick for like 2 or 3 days now. And so I'm going to do my best here, but it may not be as... I'm almost phoning it in. I'm not phoning it in. I always put my best foot forward. But it is phoning in because you see, I usually have several stories lined up to pick from for the Friday show. You know, what to talk about. What would be something good? What would be something lighthearted? And see, I sat down to record this show, and I didn't have anything lined up. So I had to go looking for stuff. And you see, I always have this standby. Because I can always cruise through the Daily Mail and find any kind of article regarding Russia and the Ukraine. And I can use that as lighthearted simply because it's so stupid. Now, that's what I'm doing today, which brings us to, you could almost call this phoning it in, because it's basically the humor is written into the story itself. I'm going to try my best here to not get into like rebutting this with facts. Instead, we're just going to kind of laugh and go through this story and remind ourselves that this is written as an example of serious journalism. This isn't in some like weird op-ed section. This isn't something published officially by the government. Instead, this story is presented to us as an actual serious work of journalism. And it's well, as you'll see as we go through it, it's absolutely laughable. We can start off with the title here. And you know, as somebody who's familiar with writing titles for articles, or in my case, podcasts, you want to keep an article title as short as possible. You want it to be like, I sit sometimes and I'm like, I come up with a title for one of these shows. And I'll sit here and chew on it for a while because I'm like, that's a little long. You know, it needs to be as brief as possible, explained to whoever's passing through more or less the gist of what the show was about so that they know whether they want to tune in or not. You see, but with this story, we've got this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 line, 6 line title for the article. And it does give us a snapshot indeed of how this entire article is going to go. The headline is, Putin and Kim Jong-un form blood alliance during arms deal talks, with Vladimir even accepting an invitation to visit North Korea in growing sign of his desperation to forge ties with Pyongyang. Now again, I'm going to do my best to even resist like adding, you know, like correcting and pointing out, because the article is, this whole article reads just like that title, you know. And so I don't even think like I need to point out, how silly I've said. We're just going to read it together and we're going to laugh about it. And again, bear with me because I'm really, really under the weather as I record this. And I'm hoping the quality level doesn't slip too much. Let's get off into this. Obviously, again, very impartial, journalistic, highly journalistic integrity tier article here from the Daily Mail by one Rachel Bunyan. She has bunions. Vladimir Putin and fellow dictator. I feel like I have to use my sinister voice. Vladimir Putin and fellow dictator Kim Jong-un formed a blood alliance during their recent arms deal talks in Russia, an analyst has said. Now, as we go through this article, there's lots of anonymous analysts, government officials, and so on that are cited. Nowhere in the entire, from the heading through the article, they keep going on about this arms deal talk. However, they never tell us where they came up with this. Nowhere have I read any transcripts from the Russians or the North Koreans saying, oh yes, we did this arms deal talk. This is just something that they have put out here. And of course, we're getting in this treated to it in this highly fine example of high journalistic integrity. It raises fear that North Korea will supply Moscow with ammunition for the grueling war in Ukraine. Because you remember, just as last year, these same people were telling us that Russia was running out of missiles and ammunition in just 2 more weeks. Here we are, over a year and a half later, they're still running out. They continue to run out of ammunition, and now they're so desperate, they have to ask the North Koreans to send them ammunition because they ran out 2 weeks after the whole special military operation started last year. And they've been out, but they continue to somehow soldier on, sitting in their defensive positions while the Ukrainians march into the minefields and get blown up. It's very grueling for the Russians. Putin has even accepted an invitation to visit North Korea in a growing sign of the despot's desperation to forge ties with Pyongyang to help his war effort, or just accepted. Like I said, it's so hard for me not to sit here and just point out how ludicrous this is, but it really does speak for itself. Let's continue on with this highly unbiased, just the facts news article. The Russian warmonger had greeted Kim yesterday at Russia's modern space rocket launch site with an enthusiastic handshake that lasted 40 seconds in a rare summit. Western officials and a former U.S. general said yesterday that the fact that Putin had to plead with Kim for aging ammunition and rockets to help with his grinding war is a clear sign of his isolation and desperation. And yet, nowhere can they tell us exactly where did this pleading take place. I'm pretty sure U.S. government officials, ex-generals, the media, nobody got invited to these closed-door talks. This is just a complete ass pull. It is. They have no idea what they're actually talking about. So they have framed this narrative that Putin and the despot warmonger's desperation to get aging ammunition, he's pled with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un to give him, I don't know, ammunition from the 1950s, I guess, to help his grueling war effort. Because, you know, the Ukraine is poised to retake Crimea any day now. The ability one must would have to have a job like that. And you know, y'all know me. You know, I have utter contempt for journalists. They are the scum of the earth. I'm old enough to remember when we used to actually have what were called reporters that tried to read, you know, actual like informative news articles. And these reporters, like, they wouldn't take something the government told them like at face value. They would like challenge it, you know, at least from time to time. But we don't have reporters any longer. Now we have journalists like Miss Bunyan. And they just sit here and put this sort of thing out. There is nothing here that they can present that tells us that this was some sort of like they were talking about arms deals. Now, I'm sure Western officials don't like this idea because, of course, it's just natural that any country that's being sanctioned by the U.S., you know, these countries are going to kind of come together, you know, as with a common cause. They have a common enemy that is, you know, doing their best to undermine everything they do. I mean, why this would be a shocking thing. And then you make this leap to jump to this conclusion that there was some sort of desperate pleading for ammunition from North Korea. Every time I turn around, it's the Ukrainians demanding more money. The desperation always seems to be on the other side. Anybody who looks at these things impartially, it's not real hard. In fact, you have U.S. government officials who are kind of slowly starting to admit that the Ukraine's counteroffensive has been a big flop. And really, you know, we're not even sure where they're going here. And you might ask yourself when you read something like this Daily Mail highly integrity article here, how they're going to spin this around when this eventually wraps up and what can only be defined as a Russian victory. But you don't need to worry about that. They've already shown us the way. They just pretend they didn't write it. You know, these same people were writing articles last year saying that Russia was going to run out of ammunition in 2 weeks. They're running out of missiles. They're so desperate. And yet here we are. See, it's kind of like climate change. You know, the coastal cities were going to be underwater by 2012. And here we are today. And unfortunately, they're not underwater yet. But they just wave that off. They just pretend they never said that. The two dictators, both of whom have been ostracized by the West, even gifted each other rifles of the highest quality. How masculine. How dare they? I'm sure Miss Bunyan is highly, just can't imagine. How gross. These two manly men gifted each other rifles. How scary. I'm surprised the Russians could even gift them a rifle because they sent them all to the Ukraine where they're losing so badly. Of the highest quality following a summit, while Putin also gave Kim a glove from a spacesuit that had been in space several times, the Kremlin said. Western countries have repeatedly raised concerns of a possible arms agreement between Russia and North Korea as Moscow's war in Ukraine grinds on. Yes, they have indeed continually raised concerns. They've never presented any evidence that this is happening. Remember, the same people have been saying that China, they do this. They're like, every time Russia meets with China, they're like, oh yeah, well, China, we're warning China, you better not send any ammunition or weapons to Russia, even though the U.S. continues to flood Ukraine with weapons and ammunition. And China's always response is like, we've never even been asked to do that. We don't even know what you're on about. Experts, yes, we've got to quote the experts because we know the experts are never wrong about anything. Experts have now warned Kim's visit to Russia is a sign that the relations between the two dictatorships. This article, by the way, will challenge you. As usual, I'm kind of skipping through because it's a horribly written Daily Mail article, which means it's unnecessarily wordy and they repeat the same points that they made earlier in the article. Like literally, there are sections of the article where they literally like copy pasted what they wrote earlier. So we're skipping through that. I'm not subjecting you to these things. So I am skipping through here. Experts have now warned that Kim's visit to Russia is a sign that the relations between the two dictatorships. Oh, and this is also a challenge. That's what I meant to say. And again, this is a sign of how I'm under the weather. You can go through this article and like it'd be like a drinking game. You know, you take a shot every time you read some variation of the word dictator because it gets bantied about quite a bit. The two dictatorships have completely returned to a level of blood alliance during the Cold War. Blood alliance. That sounds scary. It's almost as scary as the heat dome they were going on about last week. You know, they were pointing out the network news on Friday, Thursday and Friday last week was talking about how we here in Texas are suffering under the heat dome. They're not talking about that this week because it's nice and cool and it's raining currently. You might hear raindrops in the background. It's a scary heat dome last week. It's a nice shower and a cool day this week. A blood alliance. I'm not even sure what that means, but Miss Bunyan is dang sure made well that we understand it's very scary. It's almost as scary as somebody gifting you a rifle. The summit signals a seismic change in the Northeast Asian geopolitics, said Kim Jong-dae, a former MP and visiting scholar at Yonsei Institute for North Korean Studies. A stronger alliance between North Korea, Russia, and China could become a destabilizing force in the region, and ammunition from Pyongyang could significantly impact the war in Ukraine. You see, Russia and China and North Korea getting along, this is destabilizing. The U.S. going in and building military bases all over the place, this is not destabilizing. The U.S. shipping weapons to Ukraine, this is not destabilizing. If Russia were to use Chinese and North Korean weapons, and again, they were accusing the Chinese of giving them weapons last year, and yet that went away. We haven't heard about it. Now we've switched to North Korea. You know, this is destabilizing. You see, if the U.S. doesn't like it, then it's destabilizing. And, you know, the U.S. going in and trying to encourage Taiwanese independence, this is stabilizing. You know, China discouraging that and trying to just have working relations, this is destabilizing. You have to pretty much turn your brain off for these stories. But in so doing, you can, alas, find some humor in it, or at least I hope we can. I think Russia has already tested the North Korean shells and battlefields and is now ready to expand its use going forward. Now imagine quoting somebody and they tell you, I think, I mean, I can think anything. I just imagine that though. I think they've already done it. We, you know, and you, and you're a journalist, and of course you're not going to ask them, well, what are you basing this on? You know, what evidence do you have? Surely if North Korean unexploded North Korean shells landed around, the Ukrainians would be banting that about for the Western TV cameras. They could use their transgender English language spokesperson to show these. See, you got all these, this Asian writing, these Chinese characters all over these shells. But of course, they don't do that. We're just going to quote the experts who say, well, I really think that's what they're doing. And neither the U.S. nor South Korea has come to grips with the implications of such an arms deal between Russia and the North, he said. Well, of course, because there is no sign that that even exists. The entire thing is made up of this like fantasy that there's this massive arms deal when none of that has even been officially discussed. Like this, these meetings are going on behind closed doors. They're not really telling anybody beyond what they obviously want to release as far as information to the public. They're not telling what's going on behind closed doors. So you have this just leap of faith. It's just pulling this information out of thin air and saying, oh, they're talking an arms deal here. Russia became a pariah in the West after invading Ukraine last year and has looked to strengthen alliances with other leaders facing similar isolation. And who has this isolation benefited exactly? And who has it harmed? This is just, the West is beating its own hand with a hammer and saying, take that, Putin. The Soyjack meme with the tears. Take that, Putin. And Washington State Department spokesman Matthew Miller said any cooperation would be quite troubling and would potentially be in a violation of multiple UN Security Council resolutions. Yes, because we know that really matters. Where's the UN Security Council resolution that says y'all can stay camping in Syria and steal their oil? I mean, the fact that they have the nerve to spit this out. I mean, you expect these people to lie. What was, again, what wears you out is we have these journalists now who, again, are the scum of the earth. And they'll sit there and just regurgitate this back. They never challenge it. They never say, well, what about the U.S. is blowing? Where's the U.N. Resolution saying y'all can keep camping in Syria and stealing the oil? Where's that come from? But they don't. This is why I laugh when somebody says, when you hear some idea, a quote-unquote conspiracy theory. And somebody will say, well, that's impossible. And you say, well, why? Well, because if it was that big, somebody would tell. You know, there would be a whistleblower would come out and tell. And I always respond with, well, who are they going to tell? You're going to go tell what's-her-name Bunyan? from the Daily Mail and she's going to expose the government's secrets? I mean, really, who are you going to tell? I mean, maybe 50 years ago, you go find a reporter and the reporter would go out there and, boy, you could present them. You got these documents, you're going to tell them. The last we had of that was Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. And you see what that got him. You see, they don't want any reporters. They don't want a Julian Assange type of person. They want a Bunyan that will just sit here and take whatever the government spits out at face value and never, ever challenge it and never say, well, what are you basing these conclusions on? Where are the UN resolutions saying that, you know, justifying anything that you're doing? Don't you have to admit that your sanctions are actually harming yourselves worse than anybody else? With Kim Jong-un's latest visit to Russia, North Korea-Russia relations can be said to have completely returned to the level of blood alliance during the Cold War. Chong Song Chang, researcher at the Sejong Institute, told AFP, there have been many summit meetings between North Korea and Russia so far, but there has never been a time when North Korea brought in almost all its key military officials, like the one happening right now. Now, you can stop here and say, okay, maybe there's a point here. And maybe if you weren't like a scum of the earth journalist, you would stop and say, maybe, you see people perhaps getting prepared for things to escalate. You know, and maybe World War III isn't a really good idea, but you see, World War III is enabled by people like this that write gibberish like this, and they don't have the brain capacity to stop and put two and two, to put the little square block in the square hole. These people are so stupid, they will sit here and continue to try to hammer the square block in the triangle hole. If you know what the kid's toy I'm referring to, you get the joke. Maybe the fact that they're preparing all of this is a sign. See, one of the criticisms, you know, legit criticism, I'm not talking about this laughable gibberish here. One of the criticisms of Putin's operation, where he's carried out special operation in the Ukraine, that I've heard, you know, and like I say, I'm talking legitimate criticism, not this propaganda for literal retards like we're reading here today, is that, you know, Russia should have gone in and used overwhelming force, blew everything up so that the West wouldn't have a chance to escalate. And the longer Russia drags this out, the more the Washington is emboldened and will continue to escalate. And this is thus could lead to even nuclear war. And it's because Putin is miscalculated and seems to continue to think he could deal like legitimately with Washington. And because he keeps not just going all in and basically wiping out the Ukraine to shut NATO and Washington up, this is going to continue to escalate. And we're seeing the escalation. We're seeing the West ships more and more high power munitions and weapons to the Ukraine. And it's a legitimate criticism. And it may even be correct. I don't know. I tend to disagree with it. I don't think Putin is stupid. So if somebody's doing something that you don't understand and it doesn't make any sense to you, but on the other hand, you have to admit that the guy doesn't have a track record of being a moron, then you have to say, well, what else could be going on here? China and Russia, and see, this is supposed to be lighthearted, and here I'm being serious. I can't help it. China and Russia have come out and publicly stated that there's no way to negotiate with Washington, with the U.S., because they just tear up agreements the minute it suits them. You will sit down and they will shake your hand and nod head and say, yep, I'm in total agreement. We got a deal. And then they'll walk out and announce just the opposite to the media. Literally, they will do this. And China and Russia both said that you can't come to any diplomatic agreements with the U.S. because they can't even stick with them for a matter of weeks, much less years. Now, with this in mind, what if Russia, if you were Putin, And you sat down with these other leaders and you came to the conclusion that a military confrontation with NATO is inevitable. You are going to have to engage these people militarily. What would you do? If you look at what Russia is doing right now, they're grinding up NATO's military capability. If you were planning, if you had said, okay, we've sat down, we've analyzed this, NATO keeps pushing up on us, at some point we're going to be in a live fight with these people. So what do we do? They keep saying that this is a grinding, grueling war for Russia, but it's not. They're sitting on their defensive lines. The West is throwing all of their military capability at them, and they're just blowing it up. You have these reports to where these European countries are like, I read a report here a while back where the UK said they have enough small arms ammunition, in other words, ammunition for your rifles, for your infantry, to last maybe 8 hours, less than one day. They have less than one day's worth of ammunition left in supply because they've sent everything to the Ukraine. Now, if you had come to the conclusion, look, we're going to have to fight these people one way or the other, would it not make sense that you would sit there and bog them down into just throwing everything they have, and you're just sitting there on your defensive positions, grinding up all of their military capability, so when the time comes that you're going to directly confront these people, they don't have any ammunition left? I mean, to me, that makes more sense than to say Putin's stupid, and he's sitting there thinking that at some point in time, the West will say, oh, you're a good guy after all, and not an evil despot in a blood alliance, and we're going to make you a deal. I mean, to me, this makes more sense. I think the decision, my personal opinion, I think the decision was made years ago that a military confrontation with NATO is inevitable. So with it being inevitable, you grind up your enemy's military capability at minimum cost to yourself. You grind up their military capability before that confrontation can happen. You have to remember, they don't, in the West, military production is not state-run. So it takes, I saw an article the other day, said the U.S. has already sent so many artillery shells to the Ukraine, they're out now, they're running out, and they're telling Japan, one of their vassal states that's occupied, they're telling Japan to give them artillery shells that Japan already purchased, because they have a captive buyer. Japan already bought these artillery shells, and the U.S. is telling them, well, you need to give those to us, and we'll pay you back later, because it's going to take up to 2 years for us to actually produce these damn things. Now, if you get into a hot conflict, Russia, China, North Korea, against NATO, you ain't going to have 2 years to gin up your artillery. This thing will be over by then. You see, I think that makes more sense. By making sure North Korea is in their orbit, when the hot conflict breaks out with NATO, direct conflict with NATO, which means the U.S., see, the U.S. has got themselves strong. You always hear they got this many military bases all over the world. That's not a sign of strength. They've stretched themselves so thin. They get in a direct confrontation with NATO. And then what? North Korea goes ahead and instigates a confrontation with South Korea. They won't even have to invade. They just have to push up and start a confrontation because the U.S. is committed to defending South Korea. You wouldn't even have to move the DMZ there. You just have to force them to commit troops. And Japan, the same way. I mean, you could see this from a analytical, just some sort of, I'm just a regular guy. I'm not an expert. That's why I don't get quoted in these articles. But if a regular guy can look at this and say, it looks to me like this would make sense if Putin's real strategy is inevitable confrontation with NATO, then everything makes sense. Otherwise, you're relegated to their evil dictators that are stupid and trying to buy outdated artillery shells or something in a secret arms deal. These despots. James O'Brien, head of the Office of Sanctions Coordination at the U.S. State Department, which is no doubt an unbiased source, said Russia was, quote, scraping the bottom of the barrel looking for help because it's having trouble sustaining its military. General Hodges added that while the Russian warmonger would hope that the supply of such ammunition would help with his assault, it will only extend the war effort for a few more months. Yes, 2 weeks, two more weeks. In a move that will see, quote, thousands more Russian soldiers die for no reason other than Putin's personal ambitions. It's assault. But they're not assaulting. They're camped out on their defensive positions. And my understanding, so far, the Ukrainians haven't even managed to get to the first line. Let's hear what some of the vassal states have to say. The head of South Korea's ruling party slammed what he called a devil's deal between Moscow and Pyongyang, with Japan warning Thursday against any violations of UN bans on arms deals with North after Putin-Kim talks. Again, there's nothing to base this on. They keep going back to this arms deal. And they're basing this on absolutely zero. I can assure you that nobody from South Korea or Japan or the U.S. was invited to these private talks. They have no idea what they're talking. They have no idea, but they somehow, by telepathy, you see, they know. And I'm sorry, whenever they start this gibberish about violation of U.N. sanctions or international law, I have to shake my head. I know I've referenced this at some point. I don't remember. Y'all probably don't remember either, so it's not going to hurt that I reference it. It's again. So, because this just always strikes me. There's a scene in the anime. Yes, I'm going to reference anime here. This is your lighthearted part, by the way. Don't turn it off. In the anime Legend of the Galactic Heroes, there's a sign when there's a scene where the based Galactic Empire rolls up into the Fezzan main spaceport with their galactic fleet. Thousands of ships armed to the teeth, ready to wipe everybody out. They roll up in there. And this desperate government worker at the port, he gets them on the comm and starts banging the table and warning them, withdraw now, you're in violation of the law. If you don't withdraw now, you'll face punishment in a court of law. It's like you got 1,000 ships pointing guns at you. Whenever I hear this gibberish about, you know, international law and UN Security Council, this, that, or the other, look, if this does continue to escalate, and so far that's what we're on track to doing, you know, none of that matters. You know, if somebody drops a bomb on your country, you know, what, are you going to take them to a court of law? No, I mean, really, what is even the threat here? They've sanctioned North Korea to death. If the direct confrontation with NATO happens, and again, I believe that Russia has come to the conclusion that it's inevitable, then North Korea agreeing to force the U.S. to commit more troops and resources to South Korea, I mean, that just makes sense. And he's not going to be worried about international law. I mean, what else are you going to threaten the guy with? You've basically, you know, made it this sanctions, isolation, you know, threatened the guy at every turn. I mean, you don't really have much more to throw at him now, do you? Anyway, I want to personally thank Rachel Bunyan. I want to personally thank Rachel Bunyan for providing this lighthearted entertainment for us so that I could just put in minimal effort on today's show when I don't feel good. I really do appreciate it. It makes my life easier. I'd send you a card with a thank you note in it if I could, but I can't. And so it's not going to happen. But thank you for this entertaining article. As the world continues to heat up and World War III continues to escalate, it's good to at least be able to laugh. I don't know about the people, the NPC bot people that read this and actually believe it. Because I guess there's some. I don't even know if Rachel Bunyan actually believes in this crap. Probably so. And you have to wonder, if things go the way I suspect they're going to go, I wonder how the NPC bot people are actually going to process this when all of a sudden, you know, the Ukraine is not retaking Crimea, when all of a sudden, you know, these things escalate up and things continue to go south. How many articles can you write about how desperate Putin is now? Well, Germany and Western Europe is waving the white flag, begging for surrender. You just have to wonder how they're going to process that internally, mentally. How they're going to do that? No doubt, hopefully they'll do it by writing some more highly entertaining articles such as this. We're going to go ahead and get on out of here with that note. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I honestly, 100%, as we're wrapping up here, I have no idea if it was any good or not. Like I say, I'm pumped up with cold medicine and just really suffering long. So I hope it wasn't too bad. I hope you got something out of it. I hope you enjoy your weekend. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.